Hello, Sam here. Quick message before we begin this episode with Emma Watson. Also, audio might be a bit strange. I'm sat in my car. Our women's team have an exciting end of the season in store. So, of course, there's that FA Cup semi-final at Lee Sports Village. That's on Sunday, the 14th of April, and we are playing Chelsea. We are also playing Chelsea at the end of the season at Old Trafford. So if you want to watch either of those games and get behind the team, you can purchase your tickets now. We've put a link in the show notes so you can make it very easy to get that ticket or tickets if you want to take the family. So do that. Enjoy the episode.
Yeah, so two months it was, yeah. And it was like that. And then it was so happened so quick. So the biggest high to the lowest low.
Hello and welcome to another Manchester United podcast. I'm Helen.
I'm Maisie.
I'm Sam.
We just go by single names now.
Yeah. Maisie's a brand, isn't he?
He is a brand.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't get anything for it.
You get a type of brand,
you
get acclaim and respect.
Well, I've been called worse.
What, then your name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I believe
How are you both?
All good?
Yeah,
good.
Nice, thank you. It's a bit cold, isn't it? And I'm worried, Helen, that you are cold.
It is a little bit cold. Well, I'm always cold, Sam, as you know, but we are at a player appearance day, so you can hear hustle and bustle around while we are waiting for the players to come, and they will be fulfilling their media obligations. So we are currently in the academy training building, hence why it's a little bit cold.
It's cold. It's a very big room, isn't it?
It is a very big room.
Yeah. We're waiting for Emma Watson today, who has... despite the fact that she's only just 18, has done an extraordinary number of things in the world of football. But she only joined United in the summer of 2023 and then did her ACL.
Know,
so she's not
really
managed
sad.
To make her
That's
debut.
It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're buzzing to join the club and first few weeks you do your cruise ship. Wow. Nightmare. But she's only young. She's Dang. Only a young pup.
Yeah.
How long before Sam asks her about her name?
Well, I'll tell you a story. In November,
keep it short.
I worked with her on her first ever media thing ever for the club.
Oh, did you already ask her the question about
and
the name?
And it was like the first thing I said, and I knew going into it, like, she must be sick of people talking about Emma Watson. And I said it, and I saw it in her face. But she smiled anyway and was like, yeah, it's all the time. It's relentless.
You're not going to ask her today then, are you?
No.
Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
I can imagine you being a Harry Potter fan.
It's like less so now than I was when I've read the books more than once. I've seen the films. I've been to Harry Potter World. But like I'm less invested in the world of Harry Potter than I was, say, when I was younger.
I actually have been to Harry Potter World with
the
kids.
What did you think of it?
It was amazing for someone who doesn't like Harry Potter.
If she listens to this, she's going to be absolutely livid. We've immediately gone from her name to Harry Potter.
Sorry, I know.
Because of Emma Watson, Maisie.
Did you do that?
Maisie.
No.
That's what the girl in Harry Potter is called.
I know. I'm not.
Are you only clicking onto that now?
No, I knew that anyway.
Oh, okay.
It's just the most worstest story ever. You're just pathetic, you two. Get on with it.
All right, well, let me tell you a bit about Emma. She has played and scored for her home nation, Scotland. She's played and scored for Rangers in the Champions League against Benfica. She won the 2021-22 Scottish Women's Premier League title for Rangers, and she was even named PFA Scotland's Women's Young Player of the Year. So she's done loads.
At 18?
Yeah.
Playing for Rangers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Massive club.
Oh, yes. Well, let's get her on.
Here she is. Here's Emma Jaime, Watson.
Jaime Granger.
Let me do that again.
Go on, Bells.
Here she is, Emma Watson.
I'll tell you a funny story.
Love you and good to go, sir, whatever it says.
Keep that in. Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We'll start with, are you warm enough?
Yeah. Yeah, kind
so
of.
So far.
So far, yeah, but we'll see how we get on. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to the obvious place at the very beginning. Because on our podcast, we go through people's lives and their careers and everything.
Yeah.
But let's start. How is your knee? What is the current state of play?
Yeah, so obviously my knee is getting there. It's getting better. I'm 18 weeks post-op now. I'm starting to get back running and things like that and progressing in the gym. So, yeah, I'm just kind of taking it day by day and just try not get frustrated with myself and just keep pushing because obviously it's a long process, so just got to keep going. And yeah, exciting times ahead, hopefully back on the pitch soon. So yeah.
Am I right in saying that you once described doing an ACL as your worst nightmare in football, your biggest fear?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's probably everyone's biggest fear, rupturing their ACL. But I think for it to like hit me at such a young age was obviously not ideal. But now that I'm in the process and I've had time to reflect and just think about it all, I think looking into it, you do think, yeah, it's a big injury. It's obviously one of your biggest fears. But I think now I'm at a stage where it's just football, it's life. You know, injuries are part of the sport, and probably will have more injuries, and hopefully never as severe as this. But yeah, it's just a learning experience and something that I'm gonna grow for.
Go on about it, but because obviously,
why mention it then?
Well, there's been a lot of talk in the last few months that in the women's game, yeah, ACLs are more prevalent, and is that something you're aware of, or doctors have spoken to you about? Because I was reading that in Australia, in netball, they now have there's a thing called Project Knee, where they train specifically for half an hour before a game just on the knees, because they had 21 ACLs in a calendar season, and they thought obviously that's excessive, so they looked into it, and that's what they're doing out there to try to help women have less. I think
the
statistics
is becoming more common,
that it's helping in netball, but they're the only ones that do it currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think obviously it's aware that it is a growing issue in the women's game, and if I'm honest, I don't know a lot about the causes and how to prevent it and things like that, but I'm learning, and I think it's something that a lot of research needs to go into, and I'm sure it will as time goes on and as the game goes on. But yeah,
did you know when you did it, you wouldn't know you'd done your ACL, but what was the thought process as you went down?
I mean, as soon as it happened, I kind of knew. Kind of knew it was bad. I didn't initially think ACL, but I knew it was my knee, and I knew it was bad. And I could, yeah. I think my first thoughts when I was down was, I'm not gonna be able to play tomorrow, and just not even thinking long term, like just thinking tomorrow I can't train. But obviously I didn't know the extent of my injury, and obviously it didn't come at a great time for me, just moving to United and things like that. But it was difficult.
And obviously, probably your first time living away from home.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
So you moved from your parents' house, moved down to Manchester. Dealing with that when you're not living at home with your family must be incredibly difficult as well, it has to be said.
Yeah, no, it was extremely difficult. But the host family that I was living with, and I'm still living with, Kath and Moby, they've been brilliant and they've been excellent and have helped accommodate me. And, you know, I offer a lot. My mum done loads for me, because she actually took time off work for 6 to 8 weeks to help me in that initial first phase of my rehab, and moved down to Manchester for me and put her career on hold and left my two brothers and my dad up in Scotland. So yeah, I think it's just amazing that she'd done that for me, and I owe a lot to her, because I think it would have been much more difficult if I didn't have her support.
Incredible.
So I'm so lucky to have her.
How's Catherine Moby? That's a great name.
Yeah, no, they're brilliant. So Kath and Moby, they obviously look after me, and they've done it for quite a few years at United. They've had a few of the boys, like Brandon Williams, and that have stayed at their house. They're great, and I love living with them.
Was it difficult moving?
It was at the start, yeah. I think it takes a little bit of time to get used to things, but I think I settled in pretty quickly, to be honest.
Were you 17?
18 now.
You're 18. But when you moved.
When I moved, I was 17.
So could you drive when you moved down?
No, still can't drive yet.
You still can't
drive?
But
I'm working on it,
So Sam can give you lots of advice.
Automatic.
He's only learned.
Just learning automatic.
Okay, yeah.
It's much
easier. Yeah, I've heard that, yeah. Should do that.
Driving Miss Daisy in.
So you couldn't drive at this point, you'd moved down. What was the original question? I've totally forgotten now.
Oh, I was just checking, clarifying age. For those that are listening, I was clarifying that when you moved down, because people might be surprised that someone who's in the first team and achieved as much as you have is as young as you are.
Yeah.
So obviously it makes sense that you would go and live with a host family because you were just 17.
Yep.
Was that a decision you made, the club made, your family made?
No, I think it's just a club thing, because obviously I'm a minor and I was under 18, and I think probably moving out for the first time, it was probably the best case scenario, because I didn't have much experience about living on my own, like cooking, doing the washing and things like that, so I've had to learn all those things and stuff. But yeah, it was a collective decision. Yeah.
Well, shall we go back to
let's
the very
go back
beginning?
All those years.
Yeah,
many, many years growing up.
Yeah,
10 years ago. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, how time works.
How time works, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you grew up, you've got two brothers.
Yeah.
Your mum and dad, Edinburgh. What was life like?
Yeah, just, I think from a young age, I obviously started playing football, I think when I was 6 or 7. I got into the sport through my brother, because he played when we were younger, and he played to a good level. He also played for Rangers, but he got released when he was 16 and then kind of quit. But yeah, so I just started joining in at his sessions at my local boys team, Lock End. And I just loved every single minute of it. So
how much older is he than you?
He's 4 years older than me.
Did he put you in nets quite a lot? Because that's what used to happen to me, is it?
Yeah.
Always just put me in nets. Two older brothers, I was just always in nets.
Nah, to be fair, I don't think I ever got chucked in the net. But no, he was great growing up. Like, we'd always go out and have wee kickabout. And yeah, he was just brilliant.
I think I asked this question to everybody, so I'll have to think of new questions. But at what point did you start realising actually you were really good at this?
That's a good question.
I won't change it then.
I think maybe when... I don't know. I think when I was probably maybe like 13, 12 or around that age, obviously, I was starting to get picked for the Scotland national team squads at youth level, and that's when I really started to realise that, okay, I was good at football. I had maybe a bit of talent, but and that's when I knew that I could then start pursuing it as a career and really start pushing it, and something that I really wanted to do and aspire to become a professional footballer. So I'd probably say around that age.
What was you like at school?
Teacher's pet at school.
Was it?
I'm not going to sit here and lie. I am a bit of a teacher's pet. Yeah, I was just quite focused, hard working at school. I really enjoy school. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently doing a uni degree now, so still continuing my education, but yeah, I love
into
it.
What?
Finance and accountancy.
So you can look after your money.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else's.
Yeah. Good call. Everybody else's, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what was the structure like for you? Because obviously the women's game has developed so much so quickly, but when you were sort of 12 or 13, mm-hmm. were there teams that you could play for, and how did you end up within the Scotland setup?
Yeah. I think, so obviously from a young age I played with boys. I then moved to Birmingham Thistle, who was my first ever girls team.
Played there. What age was that, sorry?
That must have been maybe when I was like 9 or 10.
So there was an established girls team?
Yeah, local, yeah.
Yeah.
I played there for 5 years, and then I moved to the Rangers Academy. I think I was there for 5 years as well.
Are you a Rangers fan?
I am a Rangers fan.
I heard that you're from a family of Celtic fans.
Yes, we're a bit divided, but yeah, the Celtic and Rangers on both sides. But
so,
yeah.
Where does your allegiance lie? Just because you've said yes to both things, there. Yeah, I think we need clarification on the podcast.
I'm going to say
United.
Yeah, United fan first and foremost, but then up in Scotland, I think it has to be Rangers, just because I played for the club and I've got a lot of love for the club. But yeah, divided in the family a wee bit.
So you were playing for a girls' team, sorry, you said, from about 9 years old. And I just, the first thing I thought of when you'd said that, I think the first woman we had on was Siobhan Chamberlain. Would that have been right?
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't actually know Siobhan's specific age, but it was such a different experience for her. And just when you were asking that question, I think you might have been the first person we've spoken to who did have that set up from that age. Would that be right in saying?
I think
yeah.
Maybe we've just had more senior ladies on the podcast. But great that you had that start in life and that you weren't having just to be in the boys' team. Maybe obviously that you did that until 9 years old. But it's fantastic that you were able to have that opportunity. So you were there for 5 years, did you say, in that one team?
Yeah, 5 years at the club. And then I moved to the Rangers Academy. And there was a wee bit of overlap because at the time, the Rangers Academy, the girls, we played in a boys' league, so we were classed as a boys' team. So Rangers for I think a year were my boys' club, and Birmingham Thistle was my girls' club. So I was lucky and fortunate enough to play for both teams. I'd play a game on a Saturday, then play a game on a Sunday. So it was brilliant for me. Yeah, perfect weekend.
Was it always just football for you, or did you play other sports at school?
Yeah, so growing up, I did athletics until about 13, 14, and they kind of went alongside each other, and then it got to a point where I couldn't commit to both and I had to make a decision, and it was a no-brainer to pick football. But I think athletics did help me obviously in my football career because it's a lot of running and stuff like that, so I think it had its benefits. But yeah, it was a no-brainer.
What was your event?
So I did 100 metres, 50 metres and the long jump. And you wouldn't think long jump looking at me because I'm quite small, but back then...
Explosive power.
Yeah. Springy.
Yeah, springy, that's it. Yeah.
So obviously the question I have to ask you, what's your PB for the 100 metres?
Oh,
just make something up.
If you don't know it accurately,
just make something up really good.
13 seconds something, I think. But that was under 13's level, so I'm not quite sure. But yeah.
Sub 12, pretty rapid.
Sub 13, it'll be.
I don't know if that's correct, but yeah. I'll throw a number and say that.
Either way, it's still a respectable.
Nobody's going to know until the skill record.
We can edit it, we can do whatever. You just make yourself rapid.
It's 11 seconds.
Yeah, we'll say 11 seconds then.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, brilliant.
Away from athletics, did you always play in midfield?
No, so I've played everywhere. I've played fullback, winger, striker. I've literally played every position there probably is, apart from centre back. You wouldn't see me at centre back, but
it's only for the tough ones.
Yeah, that's
little Martinez.
Well, true.
So, how did you end up in the midfield? Did you just enjoy it more, or was it more coaches pointing you into that position?
Yeah, I think definitely growing up, I always wanted to be in midfield, and I think for a few years I played on the wing, and then grew to love the wing, and I actually hated playing midfield. But obviously now I'm back, and I much prefer playing midfield. And that was definitely a coach's thing. Was from when I started in the national setup, I always played midfield, and from then on it's kind of been my position that I've had throughout the different age groups. Yeah.
Who would have been your idol growing up?
Caroline Weir. I think she's just amazing. I probably talk about her a lot. But yeah, I think she's just such a top-class player, isn't she? And she's just done amazing things in the women's game, and definitely aspire to be like her and follow in her footsteps. And yeah, she's brilliant.
And I know you said, sorry, Sam, that your allegiance lies with Rangers, with a bit of mixed feelings. Did you follow any team in the Premier League?
Not really, no. Just more...
Why?
Just more teams up in Scotland, really, yeah.
Yeah.
So... under 13, still doing athletics, mm-hmm. and then you have to make your decision.
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, you're 15 years old.
Yeah.
And I guess the first big milestone of your career occurs.
Yes.
You're going to have to tell her what.
Yeah.
Debut for Rangers.
Right. Was that really? Was it?
Yes.
No way. 15. Oh, I've forgotten. Sorry. Wow.
So
15?
If you can remember any of it.
Yeah, no. That's right, though. 15, yeah. Yeah. Wow, sorry, I forgot. Time flies. Oh my god! Yeah, 15. I remember that day. That was a very special moment. I think we were playing against Motherwell. I think I made my debut.
How did you find out that you were going to play for Rangers?
What do you mean, like?
As your first appearance.
Senior appearance. Oh, well, she doesn't even remember.
I can't remember.
Oh, no, yeah, true.
I think just obviously like they always bring.
Did you feel you was ready?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've been training with the first team for a while, and I'd been on the bench for a few games and kind of knew my time was going to come to make an appearance. It was special. I do remember that day now that I'm thinking about it. That was a special day.
Were your family there?
Yeah, family was there. My mum, my brother, I think, were there. And I think another academy girl made her debut the same day as me, Jodie. So that was also special because we played together. So, yeah.
And is that probably the moment you thought, right, I can do this as a career now?
Yeah, definitely. I think... as soon as I started getting those opportunities, that was when I was like, "This, I need to go for it now." And obviously, it's not easy to get those opportunities, and you have to be grateful for them and take them when you can. And I think that's kind of what I did.
So then, a year later, you get your first goal.
Yeah.
And it was against Boroughmuir Thistle.
Yes.
Talk us through it.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure I received the ball, got past a few players, and then finished in the bottom corner. And it was a bit bittersweet because obviously that was my girls' team growing up, and I'd been with them for 5 years, and I'd scored my first goal against them. But that was...
Did you celebrate?
I did celebrate, yeah.
That's good.
Not too hard, but I did give a wee celebration. But no, again, that was another special, special day.
So what at this point where you're 15, 16 and you're playing for the senior team,
yeah,
do you have... have you signed a contract at this point? Because you're so young, I don't know what the rules are at that point.
Yeah, so I think the rules up in Scotland are you can't sign a professional contract until you're 18. But we managed to find a way to change the age category, and it's now changed in Scotland that you can sign a professional contract from the age of 16, I believe. I had my first professional contract when I turned 16, which was... yeah, very cool, very special, bit of a surreal moment.
How did you celebrate?
How did I celebrate? I don't even, I can't even remember now. I don't think we did celebrate. I think we just, yeah, we just, obviously, it had been a an ongoing process to get it done. And, yeah, so I think it was just very, very excited throughout the whole process. And when it was finally done, it was a big celebration, but not an official one.
So young, matey, isn't it? To be signing a professional
16,
contract.
Yeah, well, I signed apprenticeship at Blackburn at 16. Mm-hmm. And I did exactly what Emma did. I went over to Blackburn, lived there for 2 years. And then signed pro at 18. And it's when you leave home to go and live with somebody, it's so important. I went through, I had two families. First one I hated, couldn't stand.
I don't think we've spoken about your, I was actually going to ask you that a minute ago. Yeah. I don't think you've ever spoken about
that. Yeah, and then the second family were brilliant, so good. And I had 2 years, well, probably about 20 months with them. They make your life so much easier. So much easier. But yeah,
there's a bit of head, cool. Shoulders, knees and toes going on over here, if you can hear in the background. That's all I can hear. I'm not sure what kind of game they're playing.
Let's get back to the podcast, shall we?
Turn and someone else, sorry. All I heard was head, shoulders.
Well, ignore that. There's background noise. We're at Carrington. Things are happening. So we know you're playing for Rangers, scoring, and then the Champions League comes as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that whole experience like?
That was crazy. Yeah, that was, wow, yeah. So, yeah, leading up to that game, obviously I knew I wasn't going to be starting, and we were doing a walkout on the pitch before the game against Benfica in the second leg, and yeah, Malky came over to me. He was like, he told me to be ready, so I kind of knew I was going to make an appearance at some point. I was quite excited on the bench, and then when I got called to go on, I was again buzzing, went on, and then obviously scored from the corner. The ball comes in, there's a bit of confusion, and I tap it in, and I think at the time that was a very, very big high for me, and yeah, that feeling was just unbelievable. Like, it's hard to describe, but scoring your first Champions League goal against a team, like a top team, to keep your team in the game, it was amazing. It was crazy.
What was the final score?
I think it finished 3-2 on aggregate to Benfica, so we lost out. And I was, yeah, gutted after the game, floods of tears, but obviously it was an amazing experience, but just the fact that we got so close, and yeah, it was just a very emotional night.
You say floods of tears, obviously that's a huge competition, it's the Champions League.
Uh-huh.
How do you deal with losing, let's just say, a league game?
I think obviously frustration, losing a league game, yeah, but I feel like it's important you then stay composed, you have that night to then reflect, think, and then wake up in the morning, you're in a different headspace, and then obviously you then have to kind of get over it kind of quickly, because the games come so quick, so you get a short amount of time to reflect. But yeah, I think just because the Champions League was such a cutthroat competition, and both teams wanted to get through to the group stage, and we just gave it our all, but the fact that we couldn't, and we got so close, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And obviously throughout this time you're playing for your country as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously that must be an incredibly proud moment for you, proud Scotswoman.
Yeah.
Were there lots of people that have been on, have there been lots of people that have been on the same journey as you that maybe you know from playing in your youth team, playing at Rangers together?
I think I've played with a girl, Kirsty, and we've obviously we played together at Rangers, played together through the Scotland youth teams, and I got called up for my first camp in April, and then she got called up in the next camp. So we were kind of on that similar journey. That, I think it's brilliant for two of the academy girls to kind of come through Scotland and get to the national team, the A squad, the setup. I think it's brilliant for the game up in Scotland.
And the first couple of games, your first game was a 1-0 win.
Yep.
And then 4 days later, you scored two goals against Costa Rica.
Yep. Uh huh. That, yeah. Again,
seems like everything's just gone like that.
It has, until now,
the unfortunate situation, but
yeah, but no, everything just kind of kept going and kept going. And the Costa Rica game, that was again scoring, obviously I scored my first one, and then getting a second one at Hampden at your national team stadium, and obviously we got the win as a team as well, and just the crowd, like,
yeah, what was the crowd like then? Because obviously women's attendance is the Euros.
No, I think it was, I can't really remember the number, but like obviously a few thousand, and obviously they bring loads of energy and the noise, and obviously it was a typical raining night in Scotland, and it was just the whole atmosphere. It was just, yeah, something that I think about, and it still gives me goosebumps, and it's just crazy, really.
So Helen's quite out. Things are going pretty well, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Also, being named the PFA Scotland's Women's Young Player of the Year must have been...
Yeah.
Did you expect that?
No, I think there was a few other people who were in the running for it who are very, very good. So I kind of was just happy to be nominated, but the fact that I then won it was obviously came to a surprise. But yeah, it was, again, another great moment for me in my career.
How does that affect your aspirations? Because obviously Rangers is a great historic European football club.
Yeah.
But when you look around Europe, there are loads of big historic European football clubs.
Yeah.
And when you're so young, do you start thinking, do you know what, I want to be here 10 years? Or does your brain start going, I wonder what else I can do? I wonder what level I can reach? I wonder what I can win?
Yeah, no, I think definitely. I think after the season I had, obviously in Scotland, I won the league, won the Scottish Cup, won the League Cup, won PFA Young Player of the Year. And
cleaned
I think...
up.
What a season that is. Just
cleaned up, yeah.
It was a brilliant season, and I kind of felt myself that, okay, I kind of achieved all there was in Scotland regarding trophies, and I've kind of had that experience, and I thought it was my time and opportunity to take that next step and see how far I can go and try something new and have a different experience and take that next step. So
my favourite thing is we've had this conversation with players from all over the world who have won things and then gone, and you know what, I felt like that was my time and I was ready to take that next step and look at Manchester United, for example. You are the first person who has done that before their 18th birthday and gone, do you know what, I've completed football in this league in my home nation, I'm ready for what's next.
I think it all happened so quickly for me and so early in my career, but I think it was definitely the right thing to do was move to Manchester United, because obviously it's a huge club. And
how did that come about?
Obviously, they just...
Was the other clubs interested as well?
I had interest, but obviously the club just approached you and then we get into talks, and it was a no-brainer to come to this club. I think it's just such a family feel, and I think that's just so important to me. And the people here are amazing. Obviously, on the women's side, they're only five years old, so it's exciting that I'm just joining them on the start of their journey and I'm on the start of my journey as a young player, so... I think it's really exciting to see how we grow and see where we can go.
Did you know any of the girls down here already?
So I knew a few. Obviously, I knew Martha Thomas, who isn't at the club anymore. But I knew of people, but I didn't really know them.
Yeah.
So it was obviously starting like a new team and stuff. But I think I settled in pretty quickly and felt quite comfortable and just feel at home.
Was it daunting leaving Rangers to come here?
I think it's always going to be a hard decision to leave a club that you've grown up at. You've been there for 5 years, they've done so much for you, they've basically given me this opportunity to take that next step. But as hard as it is, you need to do it, and you want to do it. It's just it's always going to be hard, but I've definitely made the right decision. Couldn't be happier here.
How soon from you signing to like how big was the gap between signing and then your knee injury?
I think I signed in July, so August, September. Yeah, so two months it was, And it was like that, and then it was so happened so quick. So the biggest high to the lowest low, but it was a quick turnaround.
Before the league had even started as well.
Yeah, I think just at the end of pre-season on that international break,
Well, how was pre-season?
Yeah, pre-season was great. I think obviously I was quite happy because I played quite a lot of minutes in pre-season, and we went to Germany and played Bayern Munich, which was a fantastic experience because obviously they've got fantastic players. So we had a great pre-season, got some good results, felt good, felt physically great, mentally great, was excited for the season. It was all going really well.
You talk about Bayern Munich and the preparation. How does all of this, like all of it, because even now today, and we're sat in this huge, big, well, we're on a football pitch, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
In a sports hall. How does all of this compare to what life was like at Rangers?
Oh, I think it's night and day. I think obviously the stuff we do here, like even commercially, like it's just everything's on next level. Like just training and like professionalism and like my day-to-day life, and I think it is just that next step.
How do you keep yourself busy? whenever you're not usually training or even when you're in having treatment?
Well, you're
at university too, aren't
you? I do my uni degree, so that keeps
me... I'm exhausted listening to this.
That does keep me quite busy.
Is that part-time, I presume?
It's part-time.
Online,
yeah.
Or...?
Yeah, online, so it's quite flexible. But I'm starting to get into cooking.
Right, good.
So, yeah, and a bit of baking.
What's the speciality?
At the moment, it's a chicken satay rice bowl. Oh, lovely. Nice. High protein. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Good, that sounds good.
Yeah, so I'm really
good. Who's teaching you that?
Look at him. He's very good cooking.
Well, Kath at the host family, she's a very good cook. So she's helping me. But for my birthday, I got a high protein meal prep cookbook. So I've just been ticking off some of the recipes in there and trying new things. And I'm actually getting quite good. Well, I'd like to think I'm getting good, so... But I don't know how true that is.
The food that you cook. Well,
exactly.
I mean, that's the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
For someone who has achieved so much already, what are the aspirations? What did winning the league, for example, what did that feel like for you to think, now I want more? So when you won in Scotland, when you won with Rangers, did that give you a taste of, I want lots of this?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think when you win a trophy, you're like, yeah, this feels amazing, but what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What next thing can I win? What can I tick off next? What's something new that I can experience? So I think me as a person, I'm always, yeah, that's great, but I'm always trying to achieve the next thing, because I feel like you can't be complacent, you can't stay stagnant, you got to keep moving.
Do you have that mindset with everything, like for example, like board games or whatever?
I think I'm just always on the go, always just thinking ahead, 3-4 steps. But
are you a bad loser?
Am I a bad loser?
There's no way you're a bad loser. You're so calm.
I am calm, but...
She's Scottish. She'll be like the gaffer. There'll be some fire in that belly.
There's always fire in the belly, 100%.
I'm just thinking, if the four of us were having a game of Uno and then you lost.
Yeah.
Thought you were going to win. You're down to one card. You lose.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with that?
I don't think she would really care, to be honest.
Everywhere.
She's playing against us.
Had to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Is the table being flipped?
No, I don't think the table's being flipped. I think I'd be disappointed in myself and probably a bit upset, but I wouldn't overreact.
Yeah.
I am quite calm.
Maybe if it was like a Champions League final or something,
that'd
might
be a bit different.
I was trying to gauge like competitiveness in like everyday life.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I think I am very competitive, but even more so competitive on the pitch. Maybe not Uno. But
some of us have only got Uno as a barometer. Yeah.
Obviously, you've got a little bit of time to go for your recovery. How long did you say that was?
So I've got about
next season.
Yeah, next season.
Beginning next season.
Beginning next season, we'll be aiming to be back. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And what's the aims for you? Just to play every game, I suppose, and win as much as possible, I presume?
Yeah, I think the biggest aim is to obviously get back playing and loving what I'm doing and getting back on the pitch with the girls, and then obviously, getting minutes playing and doing well in the league and things like that, and getting back in the national team. So those are all...
Does this time out, because as Sam said, you've won everything, you've done everything that you possibly could do at such an early age... Does this reflect now when you think, do you know what, this is how much I love football now?
Oh, 100%.
Because you see your mates train every day and
it's so hard.
You're sat in the medical room.
And I think when something you love is taken away from you, you feel even more love for it because you can't have it. So I think when I'm back playing, I'm just going to be able to appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
I think one big thing that I've learned from this experience so far is that you have to be present and enjoy every single moment. Because you never know what's going to happen in life.
100%.
And I think you just have to be able to take everything in and enjoy the good things, feel sad with the losses and the bad things, but just experience everything.
You have to enjoy the highs even
more.
That was nice, wasn't it? I mean, write that down, somebody. That was good.
Yeah, get it down.
What are the targets you've set yourself beyond just, obviously, at the moment, getting back playing? Are there specific trophies you want to win? Are there things you specifically want to achieve with your national team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite an ambitious person, and I think from an individual point of view, I think one of my goals is obviously to win... win a trophy on one of the highest stages, for example the Ballon d'Or. That was obviously something that I aspire to achieve personally. I think as a team collective at United, obviously to win the league, Champions League, League Cup, win all these trophies. And from a national team point of view, I think qualify for a major tournament, do well in that major tournament, you know, start competing at a high level as a team. So I've got big dreams going forward.
I absolutely love that you've got the confidence to me say too. That like, you want to win the Ballon d'Or, because mm-hmm. so many people will think it but not necessarily want to voice it.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hopefully we revisit this podcast in about 10 years time and you'll have the Ballon d'Or with
you. Yeah, I'll sit with the trophy.
You know what she's done already? It'll be like, what, 15 months? And
yeah, I know, true.
It'll have been done.
And the next season.
It'll be June 2025. Emma, thank you so much for speaking to us and taking the time. I know it's difficult times for you when you're injured, and we really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I absolutely love that she was like, yeah, I want to win the Ballon d'Or.
She's class.
Yeah.
I tell you what, God knows how many podcasts we've done, 160, 70, 80. But you get a certain feeling of people and a likeness of people.
Yeah.
She was brilliant. She's so...
calm.
So calm.
Measured.
Driven.
Driven. You listen, you're hanging on to every word she's mm-hmm. saying. And the drive... the passion she has.
She's so mint. Well.
I can't imagine anybody listening to that and not thinking that was great. I love listening to people who are really driven and really passionate. And just both of those things.
I know, Sam, but you're not going to win the Ballon d'Or, okay?
No. No, you won't, Sam.
No, but she might.
Maybe podcast of the year one time, but...
imagine that. There's 12 months from now and she's won the Ballon d'Or and we're having the same
conversation. No, like I was literally sitting That's there class. Thinking, she's going to actually win that one day and we're going to remember this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was great anyway. I really enjoyed it and I thought she was
Loved
great.
It.
I really wish her all the best. I really
and
hope
well done all
fast.
Of us for none of us mentioning the Emma Watson name thing.
Well, we did in the intro.
Yeah, but not to her. I reckon
yeah, no,
she
because
left
you
and
did
she
it
thought,
last time.
No, because we told you not to, so.
Yeah, but I reckon she probably
no,
thought
no,
at the end.
You
that's the first interview I've ever
it.
Done where people haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, but you were probably gagging to say it.
No, I just said well
done. Talking about it, so.
Yeah, so
right,
so.
I'm going to read a listener email. How about that? It says, Dear Helen, David, Sam, bracket Simon.
Oh, it's been a while.
It has Simon. Been a while. Yeah.
Simon.
Who was it called you, Simon?
Gordon Hill.
Gordon Hill.
I called you Evans. Not Helen, just Evans.
Evans
David
and Simon.
Evans and Simon.
I'm
anyway, sorry.
Days.
Yeah. That was...
they were class days.
That was during COVID, wasn't it? When everyone was locked in. I'm going to read this. Dear Helen, David, Sam, bracket Simon. Hi, I am a disabled member and your great podcast makes my days, weeks and months so much better. I think I've listened to them all. I used to love coming to Old Trafford and bringing my son when he was younger before my spinal injury. My granddaughter is a big fan of women's football and has been to a few England games. Best wishes and keep up the great work. And that's from Martin Spooner. Martin, thank you so much. That's really nice. And hopefully that your granddaughter will like this episode because we've got the women on.
Love
and
that, Martin. Thanks, pal.
We're going to give away a signed Emma Watson shirt. You can keep it yourself or you can give it to your granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do, Maisie?
I'd have to give it to Willow.
Or you could get it framed
you know
for
what?
Her, Martin,
give
and
it
gift it
yeah.
to her for Christmas
I'd
or her
stick
birthday.
Stick it in my golf day. Make some money.
Yeah.
Well, Martin, this is your choice.
Yeah. Anyway, either way, we're giving you a signed Emma Watson shirt, which she has just signed right in front of
us. She has.
All right, well, that's it. Martin, thank you very much for your email. We hope you and or your granddaughter enjoy the shirt.
Have we got no more emails?
No,
that's just the one for today.
That's it.
Well, I'm
we've
sure
only
we do have
shirt.
Lots.
We've only got one shirt to give away, so we're just going to do the one email.
Do you know what? It's been a while since you've said send any questions,
yeah, it's
reviews,
amazing.
Feedback. It's amazing.
Yeah. If you've got any questions
have
for the podcast
have your reviews slowed down on Twitter?
I don't get any now.
No.
Right, Sam.
No, please send them to
you
Maisie.
You need to say this at the start of the next podcast.
If you've got any questions, thoughts, feelings or suggestions for a guest, please send them to David May and he will send you in return a signed tractor. Because he loves them.
Caravan.
And I was going to say, caravan, the week after, he's going to be giving out signed caravans.
That's a private joke.
That's a David May guarantee. Thank you very much for listening. That's it for another episode. Thank you if you made it all the way to the end. Remember, if you want to get
I'm
in touch,
so
you
cold.
Can. Email us at unitedpodcast@maynard.co.uk. Helen needs to get a coat on. We're going to go. See you. Anything else you need is in the show notes. Leave us a review, all that kind of stuff. But next time, we'll say hello. But for now, goodbye.
Bye.
See you later.
Right, me again. Just another reminder about getting your match day tickets for the women's team. There's a convenient link in the show notes for you. See you next time. Up the Reds.